The pressure is mounting on Iran today. The UN Security Council is expected to begin consultations on a resolution that calls on Iran to suspend its uranium enrichment activities and agree to open negotiations on its nuclear program, neither of which it has done so far. Diplomats from the five permanent Security Council members plus Germany met in Paris yesterday and talked about the proposal. The U.S., Britain, and France are pressing to include sanctions, but U.S. officials say it could be months before council members reach agreement on the wording of any resolution. To learn how all of this is playing out in Iran, we turn to Azadeh Moavini, who writes for Time magazine in Tehran. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
How is Iran's news media covering this story?
It's not discussed in terms of the government's plans to acquire technology that would provide them with the capacity to make a bomb. The public is really not informed about the full scope of the government activities. And often it's cast in the official media as the sovereign right of a proud people to have technology that many other nations in the world can have as well. So I think it's a fictional debate with people not really getting to hear the voices of critics who talk about the implications for Iran, the erosion of confidence in the international community for Iran. And so really the debate that the world is having is not mirrored inside Iran in terms of the scope of how far all of this can go.
Well, in a sense, it would seem to be working as far as the government's concerned. One interesting tension you've brought out in your reporting is that President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has framed the issue in this way, this question of pride, and it has begun to appeal to a younger middle-class Iranian, someone who might not otherwise support him.
Absolutely. I would say a year ago, there was no strong or collective opinion among young people on the nuclear issue. Today, it's a completely different atmosphere. Most young people, you know, secular, middle class, traditional, or otherwise, have been really convinced by the nationalist rhetoric of the president that this is a national right and sort of see this as the cornerstone for Iran being strong in the region and in the world.
Many here in the United States see this as a critical period in the years-long confrontation with Iran, and there are, of course, reports of possible U.S. military action. Does the nuclear debate reach that level of urgency in Iran? Are people concerned about consequences?
I would say that the urgency is not really being absorbed by most people. When I talk to people in the street, there's a sense that this is just more of the same war of rhetoric that started with the axis of evil remarks of President Bush, and there's not a sense that it's heightened to a degree that people need to be worried.
Just finally, to turn to a different subject, you're the co-author of a memoir published this week by Nobel Peace Prize winner Shireen Ebadi. What did you learn about this human rights activist that surprised you or interested you?
I think what I took away most from working with Mrs. Ebadi was the amazing degree to which in the last 25 years, you know, she herself and the women's movement in general have really been the only, I think, movement in Iran that has gained a lot of grassroots support, that has started to change the lives of women in the provinces. And it's really not about, you know, one charismatic leader, not about a sort of series of demonstrations to capture the world's attention, but this slow sort of process by which women through NGOs and their small civil society groups are collectively sort of coming together and in communities and in villages making really important gains.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.
Azadeh Moavini writes for Time magazine, and she's the co-author of a memoir published this week by Nobel Peace Prize winner Shireen Ebadi, called Iran Awakening.